let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Author John Brewer's passion for history unfolds in the pages of historical fiction novels, action, adventure, romance, opening windows into other times, other places, as his characters struggle for love, respect, for survival. John studied at Johns Hopkins University, a BA in biology, PhD in biochemistry, postdoctoral experience at the University of Illinois. His career started at the University of Georgia in 1966. He was on the faculty of the biochemistry department at the University of Georgia for just over 50 years. He's now professor emeritus. He has over 100 professional scientific publications. His latest novel, his eighth, is Badgerstown. John Brewer, back with us on This Week in America. John, welcome back to the program. It is always great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
What are you doing with your retirement? We talked the last time, and you just took on that new status of professor emeritus. Does that mean you're even more prolific in sitting there writing stories?
Well, I don't have anything else. I don't have teaching. I don't have research. I don't have a lab. So I just write. I have a first draft of a 10th that I'm typing up. The 9th is just about ready to go. My wife is finishing up on the cover, but the 8th is just out.
And that's Badgerstown. That's what we're talking about on the program today. And by the way, mentioning your wife does an excellent job on the book covers. She did the book cover for Badgerstown, as she does all of your books. And that's so important, I think, because it really captures the essence of what you're talking about with the book. It's great to have an in-house illustrator, book cover designer, isn't it?
Saves a lot of money. I think.
You might want to reconsider that before we jump to that conclusion. Badgerstown moves us into a different era. We're talking about the Vietnam War. We're talking about 1970. Talking about that shift in time, and what was it about that era that you decided this would be a great time period for this story?
I'm not sure what prompted this particular plot. Sometimes they just start off small with a single character, single location, and just grow. Other times, the whole thing is pretty much worked out in my head before I start. But in this case, I don't know. To me, that era and that area seemed kind of romantic. That was the only thing. That's probably a mistake on my part, but that just got me started. So I can't really answer that question.
Well, it's interesting because you were on campus at that time, early in your career at the University of Georgia, and you've done such a nice job in the book Badgerstown in sort of recapturing what life was like back then. What was the research like for that? If you do research, and we've talked about a number of your books before, set a while back, so none of us really recall exactly what's happening. Many of us recall exactly what was happening in the 1970s. Does that put more pressure on you for research to make sure, okay, a lot of people are going to relate to this. I really need to nail the research here.
Memoirs, particularly with respect to the war in Vietnam.
Yes.
Details that you get. Other than that, it's interesting. The one I'm working on now takes place in the First World War. I've been reading some of the descriptions by the survivors, and some things just don't change. Men advancing against enemy positions, their first thought is stay in line, stay with their unit. Second thought is their objective. But only later do they realize, hey, those folks were trying to kill me.
Exactly.
That's basically... the way it's been.
The book, as I say, was
set, it is.
Yeah, and you capture in Badgerstown, we've talked about the World War One books that you've done before in periods leading up to that, and it done an excellent job in capturing that. In Badgerstown, we're talking about Mike the Badger Brockton, Michael Stevens Brockton. First of all, explain the nickname, one that he gave himself.
Well, It's a literal translation of his name. Brock is Celtic, very old language for badger. Tun is Anglo-Saxon, later for town. So literally, Badger's Town. That's the name of the book, and he called himself the Badger. I think the way I've put it in the book, because he is dimly aware, even growing up, that he can be pushed too far. And when he's pushed too far, he can be a mean son of a bitch.
Exactly. And you capture that as the book evolves. It's like, wow, this guy is the Badger. In real life, he is the Badger. He's like the big man on campus type of thing in high school, a valedictorian. He becomes engaged, got a scholarship to college. But he's got sick parents, and that really changed his life dramatically, didn't it?
Yes, everything, as the synopsis says, everything falls apart. Through presumably a mistake by Selective Service, which was under a lot of pressure at that time. Oh, by the way, this is my draft card.
Interesting. I think I might have burned mine. I have no idea where that is now that you bring that up.
Anyway, it just all falls apart. And he finds himself obliged to serve, which he does, his family's tradition, their friends, their acquaintances, his wife's family all say, go, serve. And he does. But when he comes back, it's as though everyone's turning their back on him, including his fiance.
Yeah, he was engaged a long time, almost sort of an arranged courtship. The families knew each other very well. Anne Frost, and he starts the book off where he's going to present the ring to her, the engagement ring. And you see this relationship evolve. And what so many young people went through at that time, he's got a scholarship to the University of Colorado, wants to stay closer to home, really can't, decides that's where he has to go because of the financial situation, and this is a full scholarship. And the story evolves, as you say, 18th birthday, he gets his draft notice, his life changed forever. Talk about that adjustment period he had when he came back and the fact that he lost Anne along the way. Ultimately, he ends up being a doctor.
Well, that was what he had decided while he was serving as a medic in Vietnam. And he had some ideas of doing it before he went there, but this has confirmed him. But, you know, he had no money. Everything was gone. He had no support, no family. And then through accidents, including this companionship with this rather raffish hellraiser that was a buddy of his in Vietnam, he winds up being able to escape his town.
And talk a little bit about that relationship, because he's sort of pegged as the one that committed a murder in all of this. And that's,
well,
yeah, that's on top of everything else, he's set up for this murder.
Yeah, yeah, he's in a situation, an impossible situation, really. He's going to take a fall. He doesn't know what to do. But, you know, he gets lucky, sort of.
Yes, yes. As the book progresses, you sort of sort that out for yourself, whether this is a good fortune or not necessarily good fortune. Becomes a doctor. We're talking, by the way, the book Badger's Town by John M. Brewer. Book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. John's website is historomance.com. Information there on Badger's Town and all of the books that John has written. All of our interviews, by the way, that we've done with John are available on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play. You can link on to all of those sources by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Badger's Town, the newest and his eighth. Let's talk about when he comes back to town to practice. He's a doctor. He meets Susan. Talk about that relationship a little bit.
Well, she's a patient, and he's not supposed to date patients and so forth, but she's very attractive, and she's very nice. So he had signed up for this country club, and you know, he asks her out for a date, and she accepts, and she really likes him, and he really likes her. Unprofessionally, but he likes her.
Yes.
Well, and this appears to be, wow, this is really going to be the perfect setup for the two of them. At least outwardly, that's how it looks. But there's a secret that Susan's family has as well, and Mike gets caught up on this once again.
Yeah, she's got a black sheep of a brother, an older brother. And there are some things going back to Mike's association with this buddy of his in the army that bring the black sheep around, and also some associates of the black sheep. So things kind of get unpleasant.
To say the least, it's a compelling story. You've got action, adventure, mystery, romance. You've got all the elements in Badgerstown. At the end, you sign off the book by saying, for now, the end. Will we see Michael, Susan, the cast of characters, back again, do you think?
Well, maybe.
That was the response I thought I would get, would be maybe, yes.
It depends on inspiration.
Yeah, obviously in the back of your mind, at least, there was this thought that, you know, maybe I'm not done with these two yet. Maybe I can continue the story. So the book, as far as you're concerned, you've not closed the book, put it up on the bookshelf, and that's the end of it. It's still possible that we can see these two come back.
Of course.
Of course. Badgerstown, you've got, with the ninth book about ready to go, you're working on the 10th book. This could be maybe book 11 coming back, Badgerstown number two. I want to talk, you said something interesting in the beginning about when you start. There's so many authors that say you really shouldn't have a first scene unless you've already got your last scene. With this book, did I get that right? You really weren't quite sure how this was all going to work out.
I'm a very bad writer, I guess, in some respects. I don't follow any of those rules. I wasn't aware of any of those rules.
That's why you've got 8 published novels, because you weren't aware of the rules. You're just doing it your way, and people are enjoying it.
There have been stories I start at the beginning and went right through to the end. There are stories where I started in the middle, put another one in, wrote more and more, filled in gaps, and eventually got the whole thing together. Very unsystematic, I'm sorry to say.
Well, rules are so restrictive. Sometimes you're better off just to not know them and go ahead and do what you think is right and tell the story. Do you work from an outline?
I'm sorry?
Do you work from an outline? Do you have things pretty well plotted out ahead?
The latest one, number 10, I started with a title. I actually did.
Wow.
I had the title first, and then I wrote the synopsis, and then I wrote a 6-page summary. Very well organized, but then I lapsed, and I wrote the last part of the book first, and then the middle part, and then the first part. So,
yeah, no, that's interesting. When you hit a lapse, you talk to so many people that have tried writing, and even if it's a term paper or something, a report they're working on for work, and they hit that wall where I just can't come up with something. When you go into that period of a lapse, when you got the writer's block, it's like, okay, I'm really not doing too much that's productive here today. How do you work through that?
I don't. I just stop. That was the nice thing about having a day job.
Yes.
I didn't have to write. I didn't have a quota, so many words per day, anything like that. I wrote when the inspiration, if that's the right word, came to me, which is very nice. Now, of course, I have no day job, but I am technically retired. I don't have to do anything. So I haven't noticed any particular problems. We'll see if there is an 11th, what that's like. I should add, I may have mentioned this before, there have been times, and it's very strange and kind of wonderful, that the writing seems to take over my mind. And it's as though the book is writing itself. It's dictating to me, and I'm just putting down what the book is telling to write. Very strange.
So you're sort of in the zone then, where this is just coming to you, and I would think the last thing you want to do at that point is set it aside for a while and go watch television or something. I would assume
on the program. I mean, come on.
Well, that's true. Some of the shows you'd go away for, others you would keep working, but it's sort of like once that flow is started, you don't want to interrupt it. You want to keep the story going. Badgerstown is the new book by John M. Brewer. His website is historomance.com. Once again, we talked before about the development of characters that you do, and I love the characters in the book Badgerstown. Talk a little bit about how you develop characters when you decide to add a character, and how many you feel are just right, because you always seem to have the right number. I don't have to go back and look and see who this guy is because he's prominent in the story. Sometimes you have so many characters in there, you lose track of them as you're reading. Talk about developing the characters and what you feel is a workable number to give us.
I just wing it. A genius. Hey, come on.
Hey, it works. It works. So you have a feel for what a good character is and how many characters that we as readers can handle.
Well.
And you probably had that as a reader yourself. You grew up reading prolifically as a child, so I'm assuming that a lot of that is conscious or subconscious, where you know how to develop a character and when you've reached the limit where I've got too many people here.
It just depends on the story. That's a vague answer, and I'm sorry to give it, but it depends. The character of Tom Preston, who's a very good soldier, by the way, as I've drawn him. As I said, he's a hellraiser, but he's a very good soldier. In a sense, he's kind of the antithesis of Mike Brockton. Mike is very committed, sober, straightforward, and Tom is just the opposite. And maybe that's what attracts them. But Tom's activities, his personality, his behavior, basically are the center of the story because they ensnare Mike into things he had no conception of, no plans or ideas of getting involved in. I'm talking about illegal drugs, drug money, things like that. But somehow he finds himself saddled with the consequences of Tom Preston's activities, and it takes him the bulk of the book to find out just exactly why and what happened.
Badgerstown by John Brewer, back with us on the program. A couple minutes left in the show. It's interesting. I mentioned the characters and the development. Talk about how you do dialogue and how the dialogue advances the story. How do you go about setting up that dialogue so it's not narrative at that point, it's actually dialogue between the characters?
Generally, I'm trying to make a point. Point about the characters or a point about what's happening.
Right.
And I try to set up the dialogue so that I would say illuminates the characters to some extent. Whether I succeed or not, I don't know. But the dialogue is basically to advance the plot otherwise.
Yeah, and you do a really excellent job in Badgerstown because there are points in the dialogue that gives us a little more insight into these people rather than just a narrative explaining who these people are. By their words, by their actions, we're able to determine exactly who these people are. About 30 seconds or so left here at the end. When you finish a book, what's that feeling like? And again, with this, it's maybe not finished forever, but it's finished for now. Is it difficult to walk away from the Brockton situation?
No, because I'm always You know, right now I'm trying to finish up number 9, and then I'm going to start working on number 10. In a sense, books are never really finished. You can always go over them. You can always modify them. You can always alter them. And indeed, if you read them over, you'll see things. I always see things that I missed beforehand, not just typos, things where I've repeated myself. I have a tendency to do this, to start sentences with and so and but, and I do this too much, and I go over the books to try and take these out or reduce them so that the effect is not quite so hypnotic. In a sense, no, there's no end to the story, because I still, even now, think about my characters from the first 7, 8 now.
That is.
Think about what they might be doing and how they might be faring, and thinking, do I want to write another sequel? I might. But for right now, I'm just going on with current inspiration, if that's the right word.
Well, just completed is book number 8. It's called Badger's Town. It's available all across the country, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You go to John's website, which is historomance.com. You can link on directly to that website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And while you're there, you can catch up on all the past interviews that we've done with John. Book number 9, just about ready to go. 10 is getting there. And I would love to have you back and talk about book number 9. Enjoyed Badgerstown so much. And John, enjoyed once again having you on the program. Congratulations on another successful book. And we look forward to checking back in.
Thank you very much. Pleasure always.
John M. Brewer, Badgerstown, the name of the book. Information at John's website, historomance.com. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.